Our scripture today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. And these are the Magi who just visited Herod. So, beginning with verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Good morning. And I just want to start, if you haven't met me, my name is Mark. I'm the new pastor here. We just arrived last week. So excited to be here. And it's been a great process of working with the bureaucracy in the Czech Republic to get registered. But that's going well. It's gone really well. Michael's helped us with that a great deal. And we've received so much help since we've come here. And I just want to thank all of you. We've received such a warm welcome. And everyone has been so helpful, and anything that we've needed, someone has stepped up to help us, and that's just been a tremendous experience. So thank you. You've made our arrival just wonderful. And last week, Jenny preached such an amazing sermon about the transition that we are in. And it is. It's a transition. And there's a lot of emotions to that, and there's a lot of learning that goes on in that, and we're all learning together. And that's a good thing. That's how we grow. And I want to talk about that today, about that growth process, about that process we go through as we experience God. An amazing thing happened as these Magi came to see Jesus. If you notice, in the early part of the story, they were kind of looking at the signs around them. They saw the sign in the stars. They noticed something was different. They realized that there were things happening that were unusual. And they wanted to pursue that and to see what was happening. They went to Herod and asked the king, because the king should know, right? We just assume that the authorities should know what is happening. And the king consulted with his people, with the people he had around them, and they talked of the prophecies of the coming king. And so they were looking around them, talking with people, seeing the signs to lead them to the Christ child. Now that's a good thing. That's something we should all practice in one way or another. A lot of people come to their faith because they look at the world around them and they see such an amazing universe, all the things that we have in this world, and we think, could this be random? Could it just happen accidentally? There are people that believe that, of course. But can we really think that all this is just accident? Or is there a driving force, a creator behind that? And many people begin to explore their faith because they see the signs around them. Or they talk to people in their home. They were raised perhaps by Christians. So they talk to their parents. They hear pastors. They hear teachers. We read books. We hear from other people. And we learn about Jesus this way. We learn about God and we explore our faith in these ways. Good things, really good things. But something happened when the Magi actually went to see Jesus. Of course, you remember they gave him the gold and frankincense and myrrh. And in verse 12, we just read, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. After experiencing Jesus directly, they're being led by the Spirit. It's no longer about signs. It's no longer asking people where to go. They were being led by the Spirit. That God spoke to them and led them in a dream. Now, God speaks in different ways, so I want to be careful here and not imply that every dream we have is a word from God. That's not necessarily true. But there is a voice of God within every believer, that we can hear that voice of God and experience God for ourselves. It's not that it's wrong to hear from other people, or to read books, or to hear sermons, or to see the signs around us. All those are good things. But that growth process, that experience with Jesus, leads us to something else. It leads us to a continual experience where God is leading our life, that God is directing us and teaching us. It's not that we stop learning from others. It's not that we stop seeing the things in nature or the things that around us, the love of people that inspires us and all the things that we see. We don't stop that. But it becomes different when we experience Jesus, when we have a connection with God. And as the new pastor of this church, that's what I'm praying for. That's what I hope that we can have, is that we have an experience with God in this place, that we learn from one another, that we learn from every place that we can learn, that we explore the scriptures together, but ultimately that we have a connection with Jesus Christ himself that guides our everyday life, that just like the Magi, we could be people that we learn from others, we learn from the signs, we look to all the lessons we can learn, but ultimately we come to Jesus and we have that experience. We have a connection that changes us to where we can hear the guiding force of God in our life every day. I think that's what church is about. I think as we sing songs of praise, as we study scripture together, it is about learning to have that connection with Jesus that guides our life, that changes our life, that makes us spiritual people. I know there are a lot of routines that we do in church, and they're all good things, but all those things are there to help us connect with God, to be spiritual people, not going through the rituals of faith, but experiencing Jesus, where he is our spiritual guide in everything we do. And to do that, we have to do it on purpose. That generally doesn't happen by accident. It's intentional. There are a lot of people, a lot of places in the world that can go to church on a regular basis and get nothing from it. They just show up. They just go through the routines. They hang out with their friends or their family, which is fine. But they don't connect with God. There's a great example of this in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. There's a story of a woman who had an issue of bleeding for 12 years. And she comes to Jesus. It's in chapter 8, verse 43. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. She came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. And they all denied it. Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Now again, I don't want to imply that we're going to be instantly healed every time we have an experience with Jesus. Jesus works different ways with different people. But I want you to notice that there was a big crowd around Jesus. A lot of people touched Jesus that day and were not healed. There are a lot of people that bumped into Jesus. there were a lot of people probably patting him on the back because they had heard something about him, and they just wanted to touch the guy. They just wanted to say, good job, thanks for coming. There's a lot of people that might have gotten pushed from the people behind them crowding around, and they accidentally bumped into Jesus, and nothing happened. There was no healing. This woman intentionally, on purpose, went to Jesus to just touch the hem of his garment, believing that if she could just have a little touch, a little connection with God, that it could change her, that she could be affected by that. A lot of people that are good Christian people go to church, they do good deeds, and they wonder, why am I not experiencing Jesus? Sometimes we just bump into Jesus at church. We sort of catch a glimpse. We wave at Jesus as we go by in our day. This woman is an example of a connection with God, of really experiencing Christ, of believing in her heart, in faith, that it was not just seeing Jesus, not just watching him go by, but just a little touch, even the hem of his garment, could be powerful in her life. This is the type of church that I hope we can be. That as we study God's word together and we experience God together, that this will be a place that people can come, that we can come and others can come and get just a little touch of Jesus that changes our life. Could that heal us instantly? Maybe. But most of the time, that doesn't happen. But you know what another miracle is? When we're changed just a little at a time, little by little and inch by inch and step by step, that's another miracle. Sometimes we think only miracles, we think of miracles as something that happens instantly, that everything is different. Well, that's true. But if you can come to church every week, if you can read the Bible every day, if you can pray every day, and then you look back a year later and say, wow, it's miraculous what God has done in my life in the last year. That's a miracle too. And that miracle comes intentionally, just like this woman. In her case, she was healed instantly. We may not get that. We might. But we will be changed and improved in our connection with Jesus. Our life can be healed in so many ways, as only God knows how, if we will come here each week, if we will read the Bible each day, if we will pray every day and look for just a little touch from Jesus, a little spiritual connection every day of our life. We don't just bump into Jesus. We don't just wave at Jesus. We experience him in worship, in singing, in studying the Bible, in prayer. And as we do that, it works miracles in our life, that we become spiritual people connected with God. Everything we do in church should be about our spiritual connection with God. Everything. All the things of the church. Worship, our singing, our Bible study, our fellowship together, the things that we do in the community to help other people, whether it be organized as a church or just individuals, as we do things that God leads us to do, as we meet as a church council or any other leadership group, everything we do should be a spiritual work with God, including our time of communion. This is one of the more powerful spiritual things that we do in the church, is to remember what Jesus has done for us. And a lot of Christians practice this a lot of different ways. And I respect all Christian faiths. And we may practice things a little differently in some denominations and some practices than others. But I always want to show respect for others and their practices. But here in this place, we are a United Methodist Church. And the United Methodists have a certain understanding about communion. And it's a little different, perhaps, than some other denominations. For instance, our friends in the Catholic Church, they have a practice known as transubstantiation. It's kind of way over here on one side of understanding. And that is, they believe a miracle takes place when they receive communion, that miracle changes the bread and the cup, the wine or the juice, into the physical body and blood of Jesus. That it still tastes like bread or wine, but there's a physical miracle that takes place. And that when Jesus says, "This is my body and this is my blood," they take that literally. There's a miracle that takes place to change that physically into the body and blood of Christ. Way on the other side of understanding, there's a denomination that's very popular in the United States known as the Southern Baptist. And the Southern Baptists don't believe there's a miracle that takes place at all. It's a remembrance. It's still very important, but it's a remembrance. That when Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me," they take that to mean that there's not a miracle that takes place, but they believe that the bread and the cup, the juice, that when they take that, they are being reminded of the death and resurrection of Jesus. But it's not a miraculous event. It's a reminder, and it's a time to remember what Jesus did. Now, those are kind of the two opposites. One, there is an extreme miracle, a physical miracle. The other, there's no miracle at all. The United Methodists are close to the Catholic side, but not quite. We have an understanding called consubstantiation. And that means that a miracle takes place, but not on a physical level, on a spiritual level. That what we will receive physically is bread. And we'll take a little pinch of that bread, dip it into a cup, get a little bit of juice on that bread, and we eat that. And physically, it is bread and juice. But spiritually, we believe in this moment, this is a holy time, and that God's Spirit is with us, and that there is a spiritual transformation, that as we take that into our bodies, we take in bread and juice, but on a spiritual level, we take in the body and the blood of Christ. That the actual body and blood of Christ on a spiritual level is taken into us. That we have just a little touch of Jesus. Now, if that woman could reach out in faith and just touch the hem of his garment and be affected by that, perhaps we can be affected today. Maybe there could be miraculous healing, but again, that's usually not the case. But there could be a little healing. We could be a little better by the end of this day because we've had just a little touch of Jesus in our life. That this bread and this cup, that physically is bread and juice, but on a spiritual level is so much more. It is just a little touch of Jesus, his body and blood given for us, that it is an experience with God. The Magi came because they saw the signs, because they heard the stories and the prophecies. When they left, they were hearing from God. I'm new here. I don't know what has brought us all together. You've had your journey that brings you into this place as I have mine. But if we will open our hearts to God, if we will come forward and receive a little touch of Jesus, we can leave here having experienced him and go into a world that is so difficult sometimes, so painful, knowing that we are not of that world. We live here for a while, but we have the power of Jesus Christ in our life. That's what people need to know. That's what we need to know. That's what the message we need to be giving to the world is, that we have an opportunity to experience Christ in this place. And it's open to everyone. When we serve communion, you don't have to be part of this church. You don't have to be a Methodist. You don't even have to be a Christian, because it's Christ's, His table. We simply offer it. We don't own it. We offer it. And we invite everyone to come and to receive.